Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Tessie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're sisters-in-law. We started this podcast because we knew so many women in our own personal lives who are moving mountains with their love and compassion. And we've heard from some of you that how are these women doing all of these things? I feel like I'm not doing enough just taking care of my kids, right? These are things we are actually hearing. But the reality is we wanted this podcast to show you, one, that you're already doing plenty of amazing things by taking care of your family members or your pets or just putting a bra on during the day. Sometimes that is good enough. But also that, you know what? It doesn't take this woman with like a lot of money or a huge platform to move mountains. You guys are capable of it. You have all the tools you need inside. And we're just here to show you that by interviewing women who are just like you. You've seen them at Target. You've seen them at the dentist's office. And you don't even know how big of an impact they're making, just like you don't know how big of an impact you're making. So that's what we do on Mondays, right? We interview women. But on Wednesdays, we do what we call a Mama Bear Mini, where Leslie and I just kind of deep dive into a topic that's near our hearts or that another Mama Bear listener has asked us to cover. But today, oh my gosh, today I'm so excited, you guys. We are talking about Leslie's book, her first book, Mama Bear's Manifesto. It's available for pre-order on Amazon. I'm so, so, so excited to talk to you about it. I'm so excited to see the image of it on Amazon. Leslie, you wrote a book.
Yay, I sure did. Oh, boy.
I got to read your book so I can talk about it. Mm-hmm. Like no one else can. And I'm feeling pretty privileged about that position. Your book really captures the essence of this entire podcast, right? Like moms as world changers. Each of us has a mama bear inside who has infinite capacity for love and compassion and is in the perfect position to set the world on fire. So tell us how you kind of locked into this mama bear metaphor.
Okay, this is such good practice. First of all, I am like shaking right now, but I'm really excited and I'm glad it's true. Tessie, you are one of three people in my life that has read this book so far. And so anyway, there's that. But I've heard this phrase, mama bear, enough times to know that it is a thing, right? I mean, right. I've heard friends tell stories about injustice done upon her children, and she'll say, and then my mama bear came out. Yeah. And oh my gosh, everyone listening understands exactly what she's feeling. And often, you know, we'll take a step back with wide eyes and a little bit of fear, like, oh my gosh, what's coming next? So I think we just really realize how powerful that this mama bear inside us is and how serious we are when we say, my mama bear came out. So I think I realized that this would be a good relatable hook for women. I think we all kind of have this sort of innate understanding of our inner strength and power, especially when it comes to children. And I just loved the idea of taking the metaphor and stretching it out so that mama bear could not just cover our own kids, but others as well. Mm-hmm. I also really liked the idea of righteous anger. I like how, you know, anger doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. And I would say part of that is my Irish ancestry. I can be a really, really passionate person. And so I've felt this anger, you know, and oftentimes showed it just bubbling up inside. So I understand this about myself, and I'm just sort of drawn to the idea that rather than anger being considered a character flaw or a hindrance to the way that I live my life, it can actually be carefully cultivated and channeled in really great ways. I get angry. I am not proud of it, but I slam doors. I bang on countertops when I'm mad. I mean, I know that I need to temper this in some ways, but I also know that I can kind of memorize this feeling of passion and that I can use it for good. So I write a lot in the book about this power of rage and anger and the mama bear inside of us and how we can use that energy and, and make it work for us in really beautiful and redemptive ways.
You do. I really like that because, you know, in our current culture, we're really asking men to start evaluating their anger, right? And just being in touch with emotions other than anger. But I don't think our culture recognizes that women also get angry. And I think our culture doesn't recognize, period, men or women, that we can actually use that anger in redemptive ways, as you talk about in the book. So that I loved that aspect of the book. And one of the other of the many, many reasons I was so proud of you as I was reading the book was just how vulnerable you were in it. The book didn't necessarily require that of you because you often gave stories about and advice on how to kind of channel that mama bear, you know, mm-hmm. spirit. Mm-hmm. But you did it anyway. You were still vulnerable anyway. And right from the start, you talk about what it was like for you when Oliver was born. And one of my favorite parts was just, you know, you talked about how you resented giving up your career a little bit, how you resented Jake for working longer and longer hours, and how isolating it was because you were one of the first of your friends to have a baby. Obviously, having a baby at 20 years old, I can relate to this as well. So do you think this is unique to us? You know, that kind of like, I'm sitting here attached to this baby, especially if you're nursing, like just constantly at this baby's beck and call while you're doing, you know, like while you're still experiencing freedom, you know, to our partners. Is this a universal feeling or was it just because it's us and we have that little bit of anger?
Tessie, I think in some ways you and I, we are definitely probably overthinkers, but I think that there's no doubt that no matter how you arrive at motherhood, it's a huge life event. It's beautiful and wonderful, but it can be really, really hard. And like others, you know, I struggled with the adjustment to motherhood for a number of reasons, all of which are kind of hard to admit because Jake and I wanted to become parents. We felt so lucky and so blessed by our little boy. And I think so often women, especially those who are struggling with glimpses of postpartum depression, have trouble admitting the struggle because they've been given this huge blessing and they feel ungrateful when they're not sort of blissed out by new motherhood all the time. At least that's how I felt. And I wanted to acknowledge this in the book, partly because I just wanted to be honest and partly because it's a part of my story and my motherhood experience. And I couldn't leave it out. I think it actually is pivotal in my life. Had I not kind of hit these rock bottom feelings after becoming a new mom, I'm not sure that I would have had the courage to walk into this circle of strangers who were other moms that ended up being some of my very best friends and really helped me through some of those hard times by providing this incredible support and joy and friendship in my life.
You are so right. I think we don't often think about that, that really like when you hit rock bottom, the hand that extends out to you is the saving grace, right? And mm-hmm. that's kind of where the book starts, is just this idea that like, oh, you realized that these circle of women are going to save you sometimes and inspire you and motivate you. And that's why as soon as I finished the book, I promoted it on Facebook, your pre-order, because I really felt like from the beginning through to the end, it really is a love story to women, you know, about our incredible capacity for friendships and for kind of holding each other accountable into this like higher level of awesomeness, really. And I agree with you that your group of women in Chicago specifically really helped you kind of first recognize your mama bear, right? They were kind of the ones, well, their friendship allowed you to feel supported enough to be like, oh, wait, I'm still a bad under here, even if I'm slightly depressed.
Right.
So tell us, you know, it's in the book, but kind of tell our listeners like when you first recognized your own mama bear.
Okay. I have so many examples. The first time that really my white hot mama bear came out swinging was this really silly little example. Oliver and I had walked to the dry cleaners and someone, like questioned what Oliver was wearing and whether or not he would get sick by not wearing enough clothes.
No.
And I like immediately I'm like, what is this feeling? Like, I'm so angry right now. Like, you can't talk about my kid like that. You know, you're my parenting skills. It made flush with anger, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's just a tiny example of like when my kid was really young and I started to feel these kind of inklings. I think that I understood it more viscerally when, again, my firstborn was a couple years old and able to interact with other kids. And, you know, we were at a park and I sensed this rejection. Like, they had not let my kid into the circle to play with, you know, these other, where the fun was happening. And it just, I saw my son's kind of rejection and, you know, just, it just lit something inside of me. I mean, he was fine. He noticed it and moved right along. But I thought, oh man, something's stirring, you know? I think the first time I understood the scope and the reach of my mama bear's power was when I came across an article about families living in these kind of tenement camps after major flooding and all the strife that was going on in Pakistan. It was probably 2005. And Oliver was a year old, and I was reading the paper one morning and I saw this picture in the Chicago Tribune of a small child living outside one of these tents. And it was a place without enough food, without clean water, without proper shelter for the coming winter. And I could immediately empathize as a mom. And this reality, it angered me. Like, the image struck me. And it awoke something inside of me that I couldn't have felt before, I don't think. I recognized it as I consumed kind of this broken world, and my mama bear just ached. And I think it was then that I realized that she wasn't just big enough to care about my own child. And I think at the time, my child on the way, but the offspring of others all over the globe.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's beautiful about this, though, and really what we talk about in this podcast all of the time, is that we're all unique and we all have these different lenses on the world. So what makes me angry, you know, whether it's the lady at the dry cleaners or a news headline that captures my attention, it's not necessarily what's going to fire your mama bear up. But I love that. I love that we're all so unique. The things that anger you might not poke my mama bear in the same way, but are just as relevant and are just as ready for our mama bears to act.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Although when you were talking about Oliver being shunned on the playground, I was like, do you know these mom's names? Cause I will still be like, I realize, lady, this was 11 years ago, but we've got to throw down. This is not okay.
I know. It's true. Mama bear's big. She's so big.
So I want to keep with the metaphor a bit, because when you and I were talking about this podcast, obviously one of the first things we needed to do was come up with a name. And we shot back, it felt like 50 ideas. And you said, what about the Mama Bear Dares podcast? And you had the idea, and then you're like, but I do need to remind you that I am coming out with a book called Mama Bear's Manifesto in the fall. But I thought, you know what? One, I knew your book was going to be amazing and reach a large audience because so many women need to hear it and it will resonate with so many. But two, that idea, right? This like metaphor of the mama bear is big enough to include a podcast and a book, obviously.
Oh, for sure. And t-shirts and coffee mugs.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And I like this idea of just trying to figure out how to harness the mama bear and lead her into battles that need to be fought. You know, I mean, sometimes I think our mama bear gets angry for like ego battles, which possibly is the first one you described, you know, like, hey, I am a good parent. This kid is not going to get sick. You know, like, there's ego battles that maybe don't need our mama bear, but then there are the just battles, right? The lady at the dry cleaner probably doesn't need the mama bear.
Nope.
Or the t-ball coach who just doesn't give our kid what we feel like is fair playing time. Nope. Mama bears, no. Just
not worth it.
Hard pass on those. But, you know, the fact that there are kids in Flint, Michigan who drink poison, well, that is a calculated attack. Uh-huh. And it should be, right? It should be an attack for all of our mama bears. You write it so beautifully, and I'm going to quote it here. If we could allow mama bear to show her teeth, not just when our own child is hurting, but when we see another human being suffer, I'm convinced that we as mothers could wreak havoc on injustice and summon radical, forceful, lumbering change. Sister, yes, lumbering change. You knew I love that.
It's so true, though. We have to train ourselves. And we don't want to give in to those petty grievances and spend all day red in the face with anger. You know, we don't want to lash out at others. We don't want to mistreat others unfairly just because we're hot. Yeah. We want to discipline our mama bear. We want to focus our just anger and use it in honorable ways, for sure.
Right. And, you know, that's a good point to say. This isn't just about anger, the book. Mm-hmm. As I said before, it's about how we can use our fury and our passion to spring us into action. But that once we jump in, mama bear's instincts can bring love and joy, community and friendship. This book really is written for moms who love their mom friends and who are living in community and trying to figure out life as women and mothers in 2016 in this Western world we live in together. The book instructs women to embrace their other self, you know, this true essence of who they are, something that we celebrate on this podcast so regularly. And you in the book really implore women to use their gifts, their strengths, their joys and talents to respond to their mama bear impulses, right? And you encourage the reader to become part of a group who is all doing this. One of my favorite parts is you really demand the reader not go into these groups to like gossip and, you know, kind of be the lowest denominator of humanity, but you just encourage them to find a group of women who's doing more. And you quote one of our favorite Margaret Mead quotes that says, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has," which you change it to women, you know, mm-hmm. Which I love. And it's been proven time and time and again that it's true in our lives, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And this book is definitely, you know, I hope that it gets into the hands of women who are in a group of, you know, female friendship. And it's such a celebration of those friendships and the way that we can mobilize our peers into action, all the while strengthening those relationships and setting an example of love and action to our kids. And then also just having a really, really good time.
Yeah.
I write an entire chapter, Tessie, about the way that you brought me into a group who was doing exactly that. And I'll leave it there for now, encourage listeners to pick up the book. But once upon a time, you and a group of pretty amazing mama bears invited me into your tribe of motherhood. And together and with crazy amounts of joy, we raised a whole lot of money in response to what we believe to be an injustice in this world.
I know. You sent that chapter to that group of mama bears, and we all responded with, "Oh my God, we're crying." And it was such, you know, it was so good to kind of relive that time of our lives. You told this story, right, of how you moved to town. My small group from the church that we were at the time and I were in thick of doing outward service projects for local and global places. And that particular year, we started raising money for water. So, Leslie, to date, from the outset of that, we called it Water for Christmas at the time, we've raised nearly $500,000. I mean, that is an insane amount of money from moms, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know that phrase we use in the introduction to this podcast all the time, the Lego lace living rooms? You wrote it. It's inspired from your book where you were talking about, like, that's exactly what we did at the time. We all had just a billion preschoolers, it felt like. So there were goldfish everywhere. There were Legos everywhere. There was like spoiled milk in sippy cups under the couch. You know, it was just an incredible, magical time. And you document it so, so, so well. It just, it made me miss those days.
I know. And honestly, it was life-changing for me. And I think it's because it went so beyond me or any of us as individuals. What that group did was really harness all of the strength and the talent and the force of those friendships in just incredible ways that benefited not us, I mean, kind of us, but others. Like everyone was a winner in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to throw you a curveball, Leslie, to just keep you on
Uh-oh.
your toes.
Okay.
I would say that every chapter, that's the theme, right? Is just like the power of women coming together. So I think sometimes when we're younger, I don't know why there's just like so much competition between women. And it feels like it's only as we get older, oftentimes as we come into motherhood and kind of rely on other moms to help us navigate it all, that we realize, oh God, they're not my competition. They're my support system, right? So if you could just tell me, number one, when you first learned that lesson, was it the Chicago moms that you realized, oh, women are really are where it's at? And then maybe two, like, how do we get the younger generation to realize that we're not competition as early as possible?
That is a great question, and honestly, it does take a while to figure that out, but I think that you do have to learn that by going through it with friends and really like seeing for yourself, like, oh, these people are my cheerleaders. They want to lift me up, you know? And so hopefully as early in life as possible, you know, you can find these friendships. I think really in college is when I first made these friendships where we wanted good for each other and we celebrated one another and we didn't view each other as, you know, the competition. I don't know if I just really lucked out or if I was looking for that type of person. Probably what happened is that I just realized like that feels good and that's the kind of friend that I want to keep attracting. I think it's absolutely crucial. I think that you've brought up a really, really great point that we are here to love and to support one another, and there is no end to that love. I've used this example before, but I tell my kids all of the time when one of them is like, you love her more than you love me, or oh, you think this one's a better skateboarder than me, or whatever. I always respond with, there is love and there is more love. You know, love is not a finite commodity. And I think that's true of all goodness. You know, you can be really great at what you do, and that doesn't make me less good at it. You know, you might have a friend who can come into a room and just exude this charm, and everyone kind of flocks to her presence. That doesn't make you any less charming. So I think if we can teach our daughters and just help one another kind of look for that in each other, I think that is absolutely key to making female friendships work. We don't have time to knock each other down and to be jealous. And, you know, we want good. And just because someone else is doing great things doesn't mean that there's not enough room for you also to do great things.
I love that. And that's one of the reasons, I mean, truly, this book felt like a love story to women, was just like, you are by far the very best at this. Where, like, there's no competition, just more and more love. You have always been the best at that. And I felt like that came out in the book. And I'm just so excited for women to get their hands on it and to just be reminded of that. I want to pivot a little bit because I want to get, whenever we have an author on, you and I like to ask about their writing process. And I had a little more insight into yours because I used to walk into the women's fitness locker room at our downtown YMCA in Davenport and see you kind of hunched over your laptop writing. You would be dressed like you were going to work out, and I knew you weren't going
I had to trick the childcare workers into
Exactly.
believing that like I was there for a workout when actually I was totally there to write.
Sometimes you would use that time to shower too. You'd be like, there were
True.
moments where you would say, I want to connect with you, but I need to write X amount of words, and today is my shower day. So I just need to keep going, which I love. I love that so much. But You know, if any of you listeners, if you guys are still under the assumption that like writing is a really sexy thing, all you have to do is go to one of these old downtown YMCAs that was built like a million years ago and has like 30 really potentially shady areas. You know, it's why I love the Y. But you can imagine this image. There's nothing really sexy about that. So kind of give us an inside scoop about what writing this book was like for you.
It's so true. I literally wrote this book in the most unglamorous places possible. I think, you know, like so many of our listeners, when you get bitten by any sort of passion and you have a project that you're just kind of dying to get out in the world, you'll do it wherever and whenever you can. So It's true. Much of this book was written in my 2-hour allotment of childcare at the YMCA.
Thanks, Miss Sally.
That's right. Shout out to Miss Sally. I wrote with my friend Becky while our kids played with each other. You know, we'd take turns at one another's home. She's a writer also. And so those were really special times as well. I wrote a lot of Saturday mornings when the rest of my family slept in and watched cartoons. And so it just was something that I had to get out into the world. I was working as a freelance writer at the time. And so I was doing a lot of shorter pieces and articles, but this was the project that was just for me. It was my passion. It took about a year to write and I'd never written a book before. And it turns out that most of the time, nonfiction books are born out of a proposal. So you actually, like, you're supposed to come up with an idea and then write a proposal and then sell the book and then you finish writing. And I kind of did that opposite. I wrote the book in a year and then I spent another year writing a proposal. And then I found an agent and began working with the publisher. So it was a long process. It was a great process. I learned so much and yeah, it's been really exciting.
I know it's been exciting to watch you too, especially because I too had no idea how it all worked. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to this other podcast this morning and a man had just published a book and he was saying, you know, it's weird because you spend so much time on the book and then it goes through, just like you said, the publishing, the editing, the agent, all of that. And then you come out and you're like, wait, did I write this book? And I remember when you were here last in Michigan, you were kind of doing your final edit of the book. And you're like, it's so strange because this isn't necessarily my voice right now. You know, this isn't necessarily the way you write right now or whatever it is. And you were able to, I noticed a few places where you made it more timely and things of the book than it surely was when you started. But I just thought that is so funny because people don't realize that, you know, that it takes forever to go through the whole process. But I just am inspired and just so proud of the way you committed to it and you didn't give up on it. And we had moments where like the champagne was chilling and it, you know, we thought it was a go and then it wasn't. And you still kept your head. You knew this book was something worth pursuing. And I'm so proud of you. So how do you feel though about it now that it's like birthed almost?
Wow. Yeah. I'm partly terrified because I am like, I mean, obviously we co-host a podcast that we tell everyone to listen to, but I feel like I'm sort of a private person. Like it's part how-to, but it's also part memoir. And so I do feel a little bit like, oh my gosh, what are people going to think? You know, but mostly I'm so excited. I have to be honest, it does, like I understand now that it does take some guts to write a book that is about yourself. But I feel so strongly, I believe so strongly in this idea of the power and strength that we hold inside of ourselves and the unique position that we as mama bears hold to influence the world and shape it for generations. I believe it to my core. And that's why I wrote the book. And that's why I'm going to get really uncomfortable doing a lot of promoting and talking about myself over the next few months. I think we say it a lot in this space, but it's so true, Tessie. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And that's, I think, my book in a nutshell. And I just hope and pray that it resonates with other women who are mothering in one way or another and who either have already or crave and are feeling brave enough to walk into a circle of amazing women with sort of those same ideals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I will be your PR person. Yay! I will do it for free 99. Because I agree with you. I mean, I believe in it so much, not just the book, but the whole idea. I think it needs to reach as many people as possible. And you've already gotten some crazy great feedback and endorsements on the book. Becky Straw, who's a friend of ours, she's also one of the co-founders of the Adventure Project, wrote a great endorsement, as did Lynn Hybels of Willow Creek Church, who is an advocate. She also wrote the book, Nice Girls Don't Change the World, which, holler, so true. And again, this just is another way that you show your heart. But 10% of the profits of your book go to the Adventure Project.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't help it. My mama bear is just engaged in the work of the Adventure Project. So a portion of each book will go to benefit their unbelievable work.
Yeah. So I know I said it before, but I just want to like reiterate, you let me read the book. I had been begging for like 3 years, but it, you know, there's no time like the present.
So true. It's true.
I remember at one point being like, you know, if you're publishing this, people will read the book, right? I'm ready when you are.
I'm so weird. It's true.
But, you know, your book is just like you. It's funny. It's inspiring. You write so wonderfully, and it left me not only just ridiculously grateful that I get to be in your tribe. Now I'm going to cry. Okay. But it also made me so excited to buy a book for each of the other women in my tribe. You know, I said it and I'm going to reiterate it so that you can just like take it to heart. Cause you know, like we're not always great at accepting compliments, but more than possibly anyone I've ever known, you are the best at raising up other women and not getting into petty gossip. And this whole book felt like not just a practical lesson on how to engage your mama bear, but also how to be in friendships and why we should be in friendships that lift each other up and just discourage that kind of talk of comparison. So anyone who knows you agrees with me that you celebrate women so effortlessly and so completely. And this book was just an ode to that love that you share with every woman around you. So thank you so much for writing it, sister.
Thank you. You know that I haven't cried since I started taking Zoloft like 3 years ago. But if I did, I would be crying. I feel so supported. Seriously, I feel so supported by you and all the women mentioned in the book and by our whole community. So thank you. I'm going to accept your kindness and just say thanks. But people are just so ridiculously good. It brings me to my knees in thankfulness.
Yeah. Amen to that. So we'll get into more detail about Leslie's book when it officially releases on October 11th. Gosh, that feels so far away. But we wanted to give you a sneak peek of the book because you can pre-order your copy on Amazon today. I really, really hope you do. We're going to, of course, link to it in the show notes. And then because I'm Leslie's free PR person, I am going to, in the comments of this podcast's Facebook post, I'll put a direct link that you can go and buy it now. And there's no reason why you shouldn't.
Yay. Good. And you know what? I think we should give away some copies. So this book is, it's best read together with mom friends. It's for all ages of moms. And so I think we should not just give away one copy, but a bundle of copies to our listeners.
Okay.
Yeah, let's give away a bundle. So Mama Bears, leave a comment on iTunes and we'll enter you in a drawing to win not just one Mama Bears manifesto, but a bundle of copies.
Yes, I love
you
it.
You should quantify how many, I don't know how many a bundle is, I guess. But we will send those your way and you can share them with your girlfriends. So leave a review on iTunes and win a copy before it comes out in October.
I love that. You guys, just so you know, any other time we've done a giveaway, I feel like a lot of people are rating us. Ratings are great. We love ratings, but we can't identify you that way. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't show who rates us. So please definitely rate us. But if you want to be entered in the giveaway, you have to leave a review and then just follow us on our social media channels, because we post, it doesn't have to be your name. You can come up with something crazy. We post the winner's comment, so you'll recognize the comment and kind of their iTunes information that they give us. So you don't have to give any identifying information. We won't know who you are until you ask us to send you the bundle, and you can send it to a PO box if you're slightly scared of us. I get it. You know, it's fine. But in order to win this bundle, you have to leave an iTunes review, not just a rating.
Tessie does love those full frontal hugs. She might come knocking on your door.
If it's a particularly good iTunes review, I cannot deny or confirm that I would go in for a full frontal hug if I ever meet you.
Oh, sister, thanks so much for helping me, you know, through this process and for talking about it here. And I would love to hear a Mama Bear dare.
Oh,
you got one?
Okay. Yeah. I actually wanted to read just a full portion of your book.
Aw.
But
we'll save it.
We'll save it. So, Mama Bears, we know you've got passion stirring inside. We know that in your heart of hearts, there is a love that is so ferocious that it could survive in the wild. We know your heart beats with love, and that your courage and your care can cover not just your own baby bears, but the baby bears all over your neighborhood, your city, and your world. It's what this podcast is about, ladies, and it's what Leslie spent years of her life doing her best to communicate in writing. We believe in the fierce power of Mama Bear love, and we dare you to as well. Look deep within. Find that strength and yearning for justice. When you feel it, we dare you to memorize the feeling and then use it for good. You are meant for amazing things, and today we dare you to simply take a moment to examine your Mama Bear and think about the things that make her blood boil. Think about the things that your ears hear and your heart feels. Identify these things that spur righteous anger, and then grab some girlfriends, a cup of coffee, or a glass of wine, and plot how together you'll use your Mama Bear power for good. She's in there, and together we can leave heavy footprints of love and compassion. Mama Bear, make it your manifesto.
Yeah!
And if you liked that writing, that was also Leslie. Buy the book! Buy the book!
Awesome. Thanks, Mama Bears. You know where to find us. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the website, iTunes review, and back here next week.
Hit us on the buzz.
Mama Bear out.
You did it! Your first PR stint! How's it feel? Are you in a pool of sweat? What's happening?
A little bit. That was kind of crazy, but it was so good. It was good to do. I need to get a hold of myself. I need to grow up and like seriously.
I need to grow up.